Good afternoon, Australia, and good evening, America. You're back with Radio Tony, Everyday Business, and I'm your host, Tony Lontis. Today, I have an amazing co-host who I'll introduce you to in just a moment. This is our first show back for Christine on Everyday Business, and we will be talking about lots of interesting things today. But before I do, just a reminder that if you need to catch up on the show, please jump on to radiotony.com, where you'll find all the information about anything that we speak on the show. And if you don't copy down the links to connect with Christine, you'll also find links on radiotony.com under co-hosts, where you'll find all of Christine's information readily accessible. So I hope that you've all had an interesting few days since the last time we spoke. I know that America certainly has had an interesting time, and Christine and I might be able to touch on some of that stuff later in the show. But I want to tell you now about the glorious person that is Christine Stowe. She's a speaker, author, and community consultant. When she found out something was wrong with her baby daughter at 3 months of age, she had to reinvent herself. Since then, she's been elected to council, written her story, completed an MBA and established support programs and a special school. From lab tech to sales to carer to counsellor, she now speaks to women to find their passion, uncover their purpose, and turn it into business gold. Supporting women to be empowered to make a contribution while working around their responsibilities, to realise their true value. Christine likes to say life is all about choices. You choose how you live each and every day. And in the pre-show conversation, Christine and I had a lovely little convo about the fact that we are both introverts, and that makes it a little bit more difficult to show up and do a live broadcast. So I just want to acknowledge Christine today, because I too find it difficult. Even though I do these shows all the time, I have a script in my head that says, will the tech be okay today? Do I have the Zoom link right? Did I send Christine the details correctly? Will we be able to go live? Now, all of that crosses my brain, and I've been doing this for a substantial amount of time. So anyone who is like me and is game enough to appear on this show, I'd like to applaud them. Now, before we get on to a business discussion, I just want to remind you that Christine's book is about all things Imogen, and not just being Imogen's mother. It talks about how Imogen's particular disabilities helped her to embrace each and every day. And she makes a decision each and every day to wake up happy and value her life and what she's been given. So good afternoon, Christine, and welcome back to the show.
I'm so happy to be here, and good afternoon to all the listeners and everybody online. It's a new year, and it's fantastic, isn't it?
Yippee! I'm really glad. I'm like you. I'm like, yay, a new year. Let's forget about 2020.
Yeah.
Look, 2020 had some of the most amazing learnings for me personally in that year that I can remember for a long time. And for other people, it was an incredibly difficult year. And for other people, they had an okay year. So I think that Christine is so right in the choice you make about how you approach life. Christine, in the first show, we talked a little bit about you and Imogen and how Imogen's disabilities impacted on your life. Do you want to just remind us quickly a little bit about that journey? Because I think it's really important to our discussion today to have an understanding of where you've come from to get to where you are now.
Tony, wasn't that so last year? Wasn't that? Seems like a long time ago. And when I think about 2020, I think about lockdown, there was a time when I was trying to do exercises and we had a curfew, and I was pushing Imogen's wheelchair around the kitchen table and putting it on Facebook. So, and people when I made a post on Facebook asking people what they thought of me, they said, "You make great videos with Imogen." It was lovely. But yeah, so
Imogen would have liked it.
Oh, she was loving it. She's like, you know, smiling and loving it. And so, you know, I did it more, of course. So Imogen was normal, if you like, until 3 months of age. We found out there was something wrong with her. Turned out it was a genetic condition. So it means that her muscles are stiff. So before that, I was in medical sales, flying all around the world, advising doctors and anaesthetists on our products. So I had to change the way I viewed the world. I had to change, lost my identity, if you like, and had to find a new way to be. And then when Imogen was about 5 years old, some people asked me to stand in the state election on disability issues. So that shot me off into a different direction. And I thought, politics, like, really? And then I realized, then I thought, well, I've been trained to speak in public and I've got a rational background. This must be meant to be my journey. So then got involved in politics and then said, no, that's too hard, never doing that again. And then some people, asked me to stand in the local government election, which I did and ended up getting elected. So that gave me a whole different perspective. So in terms, but in terms of Imogen's disability, she's got a muscle condition that means her muscles are stiff. That means that she's now 20. She doesn't walk or talk. She's nil by mouth. So that means she requires 24/7 care. So she's home with me here today. And I'm on a mission to use what I've learned but to work around her care and to find a way to work around her care and to assure other people that it is possible to do.
Christine, I know that we've talked about this before, but you are passionate about disability services, and I'm really grateful that you were one of the forerunners in our national disability scheme. And I just wondered if you could just quickly talk about what that is. I'm not sure if America has a similar scheme, but it's important that we keep talking about what this scheme means for people with disabilities and the wonderful people that care for them.
So National Disability Insurance Scheme, or as we refer to it lovingly as NDIS, prior to the work that we did and the rolling in of NDIS, organisations would get buckets of money to look after people with disabilities, and some people would fall out of the bucket. There wasn't enough money to look after everyone, if you like, so they'd fall out of the bucket. Yeah. And there's also organisations were focused in a different way, very welfare paternalistic, if you like, looking after people.
Yes.
Then with the advent of National Disability Insurance Scheme, the person with a disability, so I point at me, but the person with a disability got their bucket of money to live life to the best of their ability as normal as they could. So that turned the whole disability services on its head. So that now means that a person with a disability gets to choose how they live. They get to choose how they spend the money, and services are now responsive to that person. So it means that people are empowered.
Which is amazing to think that we created this system so that Imogen gets a choice in how she's looked after and how she spends her life, because even with her disabilities, she has a wonderful life, doesn't she, Christine? And she's a joy, and she brings joy to you.
She does. She does. Like, you know, people might think, "Well, how is that?" And I often say, well, you know, growing up, I've two daughters. I've got an older daughter, Auraria, and in the morning I'd go to get them up, and Auraria would like pull the covers up and go, "Oh, I don't want to get up, Mummy." Whereas Imogen, when I go into her, she's like smiling and, you know, "Hi, Mummy." She doesn't speak, but, you know, she's like happy to see you. So she is a joy.
Yes. So part of your experience, life experience, was learning how to write grants because in your political career, you had to determine how to get pots of money to do the things that you wanted and the community wanted, which led to your expertise around writing grants and led to a program that was initially called Grants Made Easy. Is that my correct understanding, Christine?
It was originally called Money Magic 101 because I couldn't think of anything else at the time. And
Yes,
then
yes.
it's always been about grants. So while early on in the piece, I became part of a group setting up a support group for carers, and the
Yes.
council at the time actually approached me and said, "Will you apply for this grant? We want you to set up a support group." So they approached me. And
Yeah.
so filled in the form, applied for the grant and got the money. And we set up a support group that's been running and still runs today for 18 years.
Yeah.
So Imogen was 2 years old. And from there, then I was asked to stand in the state election, and time moved on, and then my ex left, and I thought, what is it that I can help other people do? What
Yeah.
And that's when I'd realised that I'd been 100% successful in applying for grants. In the meantime, I'd also set up a not-for-profit
How cool is that?
fundraising organisation. So I understand the steps that you need to take. And this was all
Mm-hmm.
before I was elected to council. So then I was elected to council and got to see it from the other side, the decision-making process
Yes.
from the other side. And then I thought, well, how can I help people? Okay, I've been successful. How can I show others? Because people were asking me, how do you go about that? How do you set up this support group
Yes.
for domestic violence victims, for example? So I
Yes.
thought about it and I thought, what were the steps that I took? So then I mapped them out and then I've now put them in a little program, and any minute the technology is going to drop and that's automated. So people can now go online and actually go through the steps that I did. So I've recorded
Yes. Yeah.
eight videos of the steps that you need to take. But the main three that I
Yes.
talk about are having a mission. So you need to have a mission.
Yes.
You need to be able to articulate what it is. So imagine one
And
day
it
that,
needs to be big, doesn't it?
well, it doesn't need to be big. Actually, I say don't start big because it's better if you start
Yeah.
small and you get runs on the board, because once you get
Yep.
runs on the board, then you can take the next step and the next step. So, but
Yeah.
imagine one day if you've got a dream to set up, and what I've heard a few times over the last little while is women want to set up like a clinic where they've got different professionals to help those with, maybe mental illness or domestic violence or
Yes.
disabilities. So they're looking to set up
Yes.
a clinic. So you need to be able to put that into words because, having worked with MPs and being elected to local government, you need to be able to tell them what you want. And I hear people say, oh, the government should know, the government should know. But they're just people.
No.
But imagine one
Yeah.
day you step into a lift and you step into a lift and you happen to be with, I don't know, the Prime Minister of Australia. And that might happen. It
Yeah.
might be the finance
Yes.
minister. And he says, Christine,
Yes.
what would you like to see? And I say, well, I'd like a respite house for people with disabilities, and I want it to look like this. This man or this woman has the power
Yes.
to make that happen. So you need to be able to
Yes.
say that. You need to be clear about it. So you need to know what your mission is, and it's a really good idea to write it down. The next thing is,
Yes.
number two is to write your budget. Now, people often say, how do
Yes.
I start? How do I write a budget? Well, I can help you with that. You need to have
Yes.
figures. You need to be able to say
Yes.
how much you want. Because imagine if you go to the shop and you say, I want that milk, and they don't go, oh, yeah, just, we don't know how much it is, just take it. You need to know
Yeah.
how much you want. It might be $1 million, it might be $10,000, but you need to know how
Yes.
much and how you're going to use that, because you need to be able to
Yeah.
tell that politician, that wonderful politician with a magic wand, who's going to make it happen.
Yes.
And the
Who
third
might have a secret bucket of money that he desperately wants to spend on something worthwhile. You never know.
Well, most often they do have a secret bucket of money in Australia, actually.
Yeah.
So
Yeah. Yeah.
it's a good idea to have your mission, then your budget, and put it into a proposal. And in a proposal, you need to answer all sorts of questions like how are you going to use the money? What are the outcomes? Who are you going to help? So it's a really good idea
Yes.
to have that ready to go.
Yes. And this is all stuff that you've learned from being on both sides of the grant writing process, which is gives you great insights, doesn't it?
Yeah, so actually, from applying to grants, but also setting up a not-for-profit organisation. So we set up a not-for-profit that was called Kids Up. So there's some steps,
Yes.
and people say, "Oh, you know, if I can save you $10,000 right here and now," people say, "I want to set
Yeah.
up tax deductibility." Well, that costs
Yes.
$10,000 in Australia.
To set up a tax, a not for profit.
To set up the tax deductibility. So what I say is start
Yes.
small. Start off with a, in Victoria, it's called an incorporated association, and you go to the Consumer Affairs website. In Queensland, it's called, you go
Yes.
to the Business Queensland website, and in New South Wales, it's the Office of Fair Trading. So if you can find the
Yeah.
equivalent in your state of how to, and you set up an incorporated association. So if you're in a business, when you're applying for business grants, you need to have set up a business. If you're a not-for-profit and you want to set up that giving, tax deductibility, then you need to have a body that's called an incorporated association. If you get going and you need a little committee, but if you get going and you get money in, then look at the tax deductibility.
I
Because
see. So,
people will give to your cause. They don't give because you've got tax deductibility. They give because it's a
Yes.
cause. They give because they relate to
Yes.
that. So if you can give people a reason and a way to give, they'll give.
Yeah. And so all of these steps are part of your new program, which you're releasing like very soon, isn't
Any minute after this, I'm going to be having a look at the automation once
it?
again. But until the
Yes.
31st of January, it's going to be $7 for the master class and the report, and it's
Yes.
going to be
Yes.
$97. So usually it's going to be $47 for the master class, but until
Yeah,
the 31st of
but
January, it'll
it's
be $7.
$7.
Yep, and
What
$97
a bargain.
for the whole course. Well, when you consider that people that I've talked to get usually
Yeah.
$10,000 in their grants to get them started. So it's about the vision and about other people engaging in that. When I was
Definitely.
running Kids Up, because I had a organisation and a vision that helped kids with disabilities, people would ring me and say, "Where do I donate? Where do I give money?"
Oh,
Yeah.
fantastic. And Australians are very generous, aren't they?
Yep, they are. They absolutely
I
are.
know whenever there's a national disaster, it seems that we have an innate ability to give to others in need. And so that knowledge should be helpful if you're thinking about doing any of these things. And it refers to not-for-profits, community organizations, community projects rather, and they can be virtually anything, can't they, Christine?
Yeah, so if you, well, they can be anything. There's all sorts of projects. If you look at the giving platforms, GoFundMe, for example, people put
Yes.
things up there to pay for operations for the cats. So there is virtually
Yeah.
anything. So from, helping to help somebody with a pet to, the bushfire disaster, I mean, look at how much we gave there.
Yes,
So give
yes,
people a
yes.
reason and a way to give. Make it easy for them.
Yeah. One of the lessons from all the money that was raised last year around the fire is that timely lesson about all that money actually went to the firefighters and their organisation versus the people who lost their houses and properties and animals, etc. And that is a big example of setting things up properly, isn't it, Christine?
That's true. Yes, you need to think through it carefully. So that's why I say start off small. Start off with your
Yes.
incorporated association. Try it out if you like. Give it a test run.
Yeah.
If people will
Yeah.
give, see if you need to tweak the message. And also, as you
Yeah.
say, you need to be careful in where the money goes and make sure it is getting to the right place.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Christine, so that program of yours is like happening right now, and I'm sure next week we'll be able to say, okay, it's up, it's ready to go. But in the meantime, something else that we wanted to chat about in your transformation from world traveling sales rep to Imogen's mum to being in council, one of the things that helped you transition, and this is a good subject for today as we come into 2021 and things are still a little up and down in terms of business and jobs. So I wanted to talk today as well about transferable skills and what they mean and how you use them.
Yeah, so when I thought about people come to me for how to write grants and they say, oh,
Yeah.
that's really hard. And when I thought, well, why is it that I just find it easy to do? What is it
Yes.
about my past life, my previous life, that allows me to do this? And I thought, well, I was in sales. What did I do in sales? I wrote lots of proposals. And I went, oh, proposals, grants, they're the same skills. And I
They are.
wasn't until after I'd written the program for Grants Made Easy and I thought back and I thought, oh, I do have transferable skills. Here I was thinking, oh,
Yes.
I was in medical sales. What did I learn? What can I help people with? So I really
Yeah.
urge people, it might be that your job is no longer viable. It might be, that you need to look for something different. But the transferable
Yeah.
skills that we have are amazing. If we think about
And valuable.
valuable, that's right. Write down all the things that you're good at or all the things that you like to do. And that's something that if, your listeners are interested in the consultation with me, I'd love to help them tease out
Absolutely.
those transferable skills. Because, I've been so successful and it wouldn't have been I wouldn't have been successful if it wasn't for those skills. So it might be that, you take transferable skills into a new role that might pay you more, for example. It might be that you use
Yes.
transferable skills in doing something different, just like I did. I never thought that I'd write grants. So I really
Yeah.
urge your listeners to think about what they've done and where they might use some of those transferable skills, and I'd love to talk to them.
I know. I was just going to say, if there's one person I know that can help you nut out what your transferable skills might be, it's Christine, because she's done so much of this work. And Christine's website is christinestowe.com.au. And on there is a connect or contact me. Jump on there. There's also a button to book a call with Christine. So if you need any help around working out what skills you have that might be relatable to another job, that might be transferable to another job, or that might even get you on the track of a not-for-profit or a community organization, a community project, or even a business. So
Business.
some of the things that you think, so me, for example, my background is in nursing. So nursing to broadcaster is a quantum jump. But it's not really, because I spent my life teaching and educating patients around healthcare and, in particular, their upcoming operations. And within that ability to talk to people is you had to be organized. You had to make sure that they had this portion of their patient pathway sorted out, that they arrive for their appointments, that they come to see the anaesthetist before their surgery. So those skills, whilst not the same in doing what I do now, they are called transferable skills. And the way that you use them is really important. And it's, and again, it's important that we have this conversation now when the world is in a bit of flux and people have lost jobs or looking for jobs, looking to start a business or looking to do something else, to recognize these valuable skills that you've learnt in a current or past roles. Christine, besides the grant writing, what were some of the other things that you were able to take into your role within local council?
So one of the things that Mitch Fifield, Senator Mitch Fifield, talked about with carers, and one of the things that I've talked about in my speeches is juggling. So you're having a child with special needs.
Yes.
You don't even have to have a child with special needs. If you've got children, you have to juggle. You juggle. And Senator Fifield actually said when NDIS was rolling in, he said there'd be so many roles because carers are able to juggle, manage timetables, you know, maybe they go to work or not go to work, but they're still managing appointments, going here, being there, you know, and managing other children at the same time, as well as negotiating with health professionals, para health professionals, learning a whole new language, which is a medical language, maybe, and you learn things. My daughter, my older daughter, could spell anaesthetist before she was two, you know, because these were because these are things that you learn in negotiating the pathways. So, and with NDIS, you know, grants or, you know, this whole new world, there's new opportunities. And the thing, if there's anything that 2020 and COVID and lockdown has done for us, it's meant that people are more open to doing things online, which is fabulous for me.
Absolutely. Yes. Online is going to be, an online education is tipped to generate billions in revenue.
Yeah.
So that's billions of dollars of people wanting to educate themselves. So where do they look when they're looking for education? They look online. So that's another important component, is you need to be visible online. And it's part of the reason I'm passionate about doing these shows, is because it allows people to see what else is available to them, who they can talk to get help in doing the things that they might want to do, and keep them visible. And the purpose of me having Christine is so that I can talk about all the things that might help people, because at the end of the day, for both Christine and I, that's one of our highest ideals, is our love of helping people, closely followed by empowering, closely followed by educating, because education gives us an understanding and a power to make a difference in our lives and the lives of others. And Christine, I know that you're really passionate about working with women, and so I really like you to tell the audience, remind them again what your special mission is in the next 5 years.
So I want to help women. I'm passionate about helping other carers to realise that they can work around their caring responsibilities, that it is possible. And COVID allowed us to be more, to people be more accepting of online. And it also meant that there's less stress for me. I don't have to think about getting care for Imogen to get to a place in person. I can be here, and I was going to wine tastings right from this chair, and the next minute I was in London talking to someone. Someone's flying all around the world from this chair. But it meant that I was less stressed about getting care. So I'm passionate about helping carers, and I'm passionate about helping women who have passion causes, who have, you know, they've got that burning desire to get it off the ground.
To do something.
Yeah, they don't know where to start. And where they start is, you know, with grants. If you start with a grant, and, you know, that grows into something. You know, the other thing as well that I was thinking while you were talking is that now that we're online, you know, we used to go and do Bunnings barbecues. So I don't know what that
Yes.
quotes to in the States, but maybe they do those cookie stalls or cake stalls. And, you know, we'd go
Yes.
out to Bunnings barbecues. But now we're more online. There's like, I know there's at least 30 platforms. So there's not just GoFundMe, but there's a
There
lot of
is.
platforms out there. And that's one of the modules in Grants Made Easy is looking at online platforms. So that means you're not limited to your local community. You can put
Absolutely.
your fundraising idea or your project online. You know, Kickstarter is one of the
It
platforms that
is.
you can use to get a project started, and you can do that all over the world. So where there was $80 billion in Australia, there's who knows how much in the whole world.
Trillions.
Trillions. So people, give them a reason to give and a way to give, online platform.
And off you go.
Yeah, so put your message out there. And so we've opened this up to ourselves.
I was just going to say, 2020 has really opened so many people up to that concept of connectability across the world. The fact that, like, I'm with you, Christine, the fact that I can do a Zoom meeting and do multiple Zoom meetings versus one-on-one have to drive somewhere to meet, whilst I still do that from time to time in my business life, I mostly do Zooms now, and I talk to people from all over the world, just like you do, all over the world. We are now connected in a way that is, I think, amazing, because the more people that you connect to and talk about your vision and mission and what you want to do, the more chances, the more opportunities for you to achieve what you want to achieve. I think that that has been the most wonderful thing about 2020 is most of us rediscovering that connectability across the world. So for someone in Australia to do something that they're passionate about and connect with someone in America that helps them do that, what an amazing thing. What a wonderful world.
I love that we've come to this point in this conversation where we're saying, well, 2020 was tough and 2020 was hard for some people, but there's been a lot of learnings that we can take from it that are opening up the world. So, and I like to look at things, you know, one of my sayings is that she loved life and it loved her right back. So it's the way you can look at things, and like, I'm always looking at the opportunities.
Yes. And the other thing is, it actually reinforces for people that there is money out there. There's plenty of money. There's huge amounts of abundance. So if you've got a desire to help school children in a third world country, go for it. There should be nothing stopping you. But if you want to know where to start, of course, then I can't recommend Christine highly enough to get you started. Just have a conversation with Christine and go, okay, this is my idea. Because she's not one of those people who's going to say, oh my God, that's crazy. She's never going to say that to you. She's going to listen to your vision and your great purpose and then help you get on the way to achieving that purpose, because that's what she loves to do. So, Christine, you don't just help women, though. You're available. You're predominantly focused on helping women, but you do help men as well.
I'm happy to help men, women, LGBTQI, across the board. I'll help anyone. It's just mostly women that have come to me. Look, I've
come
even
to
had
you.
Trans people come to me and, you know, love to help them as well, because I think that they have some of the same things that, you know, in disability, some of the prejudice that we face.
Yes.
The same different colour, if you like. So, no, I'm happy to help anyone. It's just that it's been most, not all, but mostly women who have such a desire and passion and don't know where to start.
Yeah. And it's about recognising that burning desire or passion in your life and going, if not now, when? And if you're stuck and thinking how, then here's the solution. Christine, have a conversation with Christine because she can walk you through that, nut it all out, work out where to start, and off you go. So there should be nothing stopping people in 2021 discovering their passion and purpose and getting started on it.
The passion and purpose.
And if
And you
there's
know what? There's a, billions of dollars worth of money out there, but it's never about the money. It's never about,
No.
it's about the passion and purpose and about helping people. And I've heard so many
Yes.
times, if you serve others, then you'll serve yourself. Like if you're serving other
Absolutely.
people, it comes back to you tenfold. So, I mean, that's an odd concept, I suppose, but it's
Yeah.
about passion. People, if they have
Yes.
the passion, they can make it happen.
Yes. Yes. See, the passion drives action. And you don't have to do big action. You can do little steps of action consistently get you to where you want to go, don't they?
That's right. And even better than talking to me, for $7, I can get a copy of my special report in the masterclass. And basically, the special report, if they fill that in, they'll have that, the three tenets: your mission, your budget, and your proposal. They can still talk to me if they like.
Yeah.
For $7, I've got people $10,000, at a minimum. That's a
Yes,
bargain.
it is. Absolutely. I think $7 is a bargain. And that the other thing is that that $7 will go up once you get through your initial stages of having the course up. So $7, if you're an American listening, $7 to you is, let me see if I can do the calculation in my head, it's about $4.50. Am I right?
It's $7 US,
So
so it's
not,
$7. So it's
oh, it
$7.
is $7.
It'll, yeah,
$7 US.
less. So that's probably two cups of coffee in the US. But for that, you get
Absolutely.
yourself going on your project, the ability to map it out. And then if they still want to speak to me, they can still speak to me. But the course
Yeah.
itself, eight modules, will be $97. So that's $97 US. And that'll be aiming to get it launched. I'll have something, a link tonight.
Yes.
I'll do it myself, to
Yes.
keep this
Yeah.
going so people can get that report tonight. Because, so many, this is going to help so many people get their projects off the ground.
Agreed. Yeah. January is often a time when we're looking about what the next 12 months holds. Often people have thought, had time off over Christmas and thought about how they want to live their lives going forward in 2021. And I dare say that there's a lot of people who've had thoughts over the Christmas break, well, I'd really like to do this, or I'd really like to do that, or I'm passionate about this. I just don't know how to get that started. Then this little report will help you, won't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll give you that, the form to fill in if you like. Now the other thing is that
Yes.
when you're filling in forms, that a lot
Yeah.
of grants these days, you don't get a form, that you fill in, you go
Yes.
online. And the problem with
Yes.
that is that you don't get to see, like you fill in the first page, it might say name, how long you've been in business, address.
Address.
Yeah, and then the next page, you don't know what it is. So if you get
Yeah.
my form, you've got all that listed out so that when you come to put it
Yes.
online into the grant application, at least you've got that outline. You've got that
Yes.
practice, if you like. Whereas when you're submitting your grants these days, you don't get to see what comes next. And then
No, and you're like scrambling to go, oh, where's that document? What's this? There's yes, I agree, Christine. Sometimes you'll start to fill out those forms and go, oh, I haven't got that information, and I wish I'd known, and I would have had it prepared.
that's
What
right.
you're saying is that you give them the template that will help them do that, because I'm guessing that most applications for grants of any description follow a pretty the same sort of questions and information that they'll need in order to assess whether your grant's going to be successful or not.
Yeah, so they follow an outline,
Yeah.
name, address, How long you've been in business, if it's a business grant, for example, because I want to know that you've been around a while. I want to know that you're not just a fly-by-nighter, that you're not going to go, money and off you go. So those are the standard questions. Then after that, there'll be questions which are particular to that grant. But at least if you filled in my form, you've got an idea of what it looks like, but also an idea of who you are.
You've actually like done the pre-work before you go and apply for the grant, which makes it easier on you and has you well prepared and more likely for someone to read your application. Because isn't it true that there, in a lot of those processes, some of the applications are just not even read because they're not filled out completely or in a certain way?
If there's one thing that I can tell people, the number one reason that grants are rejected is because they don't respond to the specifications. They don't respond to what the grant giver is asking. So if there's one thing that people can improve on, improve their chances, doesn't mean they're going to be successful necessarily, but if they can respond to exactly what the grant giver is asking, that's really important. Yeah. That's the number one reason why people don't get a grant. The second thing is that at least if you've gone through my little pro forma, you've thought about what it is you're doing. I think that for me, in talking to all the, you know, over 100 women that I have, they know they've got a project, but they haven't written it down. So they haven't got it into a form where they can tell someone else, you know, where they can articulate it to somebody else. So it's really important to have thought that through so that when you come to the form that you've already got that in your mind, if you like.
That's great advice.
Respond to what the question's asking. The other thing is that when I was doing some research recently, statistics say that you're not more successful by getting somebody else, a grant writer, to write your grant.
Yes.
You're the same amount of success as if you get a grant writer as if you write it yourself. So that's why I want to educate people so that they can write their own grants, because if you think about it, the passion comes from you.
Yes.
So if somebody wants to write it, I'm happy to write grants, but if you've got that passion that you can put into the application, then it comes through. Yeah. And grant writers are usually, you know, anywhere from $8,000 to start to write a grant. So if you're getting a $10,000 grant, there's your grant gone. So that's why I want to educate people to write their own grants to be as successful as they can.
Christine, in speaking about grants, where are some of the best places to find where grants are available?
The best place to start is to write your mission, your budget, and your proposal. Because looking for grants online is like, it's like a barnyard, if you like. They're all over the place. So I say to people, don't start with a grant. Because if you start saying, oh, you know, is there a grant out there for me? That's like, you just want the money.
Yeah.
So grant givers can smell that a mile off. So if you start with your mission, your vision, and your budget, then you've got more chance of finding the money, because you've got this budget, your proposal, then you look for where the grant is. So it might be that you go to your local MP. It might be then that you look at local government. It might be that you look at fundraising. The best place to start is to write your proposal, because the money doesn't necessarily come from a grant. It doesn't necessarily come from a platform where you find grants. So, and there are platforms. So the federal government has a website for grants, but they're usually billions of dollars. They're usually organisations that are, you know, the Salvation Army, for example, the Red Cross.
Yes.
They're big buckets of money. And then there's state government, and then they're smaller, but they're still big buckets of money. And the next place and the best place probably for your listeners to look would be local government. So I'm not sure what the equivalent would be in America, the US, some of your listeners over there? Maybe it's
Counties,
counties.
probably. Counties, I think. So they would have state and federal, but then I think it's counties versus what we call local government, I think.
So they're local governors or something like that, what they're called
Yeah,
over
I
there.
think. Yeah.
So
Yeah.
those people would be the people to go to see, because they have the finger on the pulse. But the best, you need to start with a proposal and then look, because it might be a grant, might be fundraising, might be sponsorship.
Yes.
But I go through
Yeah.
those things in the course as well.
I'm just thinking that if you learnt and connecting it back to transferable skills, so if you learnt how to do this for grants, then that those skills that you learn to do for grants are then transferable to things like bank loans and applications for funding from all sorts of different other sources as well, are they not?
Yep, exactly. Yeah. So the same things that you'll write for a grant are the same things that you'll write
Yes.
for a proposal, are the same things that you'll write for a marketing plan as well.
I was just going to say, and then that flows through to a business plan as well. So if you get Christine to teach you those key elements, they then flow on and to many other things in life and business. So they're really quite valuable skills for $7 and then $97. Like, seriously, this is something that could really help you do the things that you want to achieve in 2021. Christine, I know that you've talked about that mission of helping 1,000 women in the next 5 years. Is there a bigger vision that sits behind that mission?
A bigger vision. I want to get carers. I want carers to understand that it's possible. Things are possible. That's my vision, to have carers. But my big mission, or vision, if you like, is to
Yes.
have that cottage where women come together and help each other. That's my big vision, where they can come, we can
Yes.
come together and be helping each other. That's my big vision.
Yes. Yes. There's not enough helping, or there's not enough understanding of helping. I had a guest on the show last week, and we had a little conversation about giving, and he tasked the listeners with going out and doing and giving five to five people. So whatever that looked like for you, whatever giving means to you, do it five times in the next week. And it's the same for helping, isn't it? You are, by helping others, you help yourself. So the more that you help others, the more that you get the help that you desire. And that might just be the difference in getting you to the next level and where you want to go quicker than what you thought it was going to take.
Yeah, I actually heard somebody say that he was flat broke, wasn't making any sales, and somebody said
Yeah.
something like that to him. So I went out and gave 10 people $10. And I've actually done that. I've actually
Yes.
been to the city and I gave 10 homeless people on the street $10. And the thing is that it makes you feel better, and then it rolls on, and then people want to help you
It's an
back.
energy. It's an energy thing, and it's once you've done it a few times, it becomes something that pops into your mind often. So for me, I just like to randomly pay for the coffee for the person in the line behind me. Like, it just, I know that that's not a huge thing. I was listening to 60 Minutes last night, and Keith Urban was talking about giving Pink a piano after they'd worked together, just as a gift of appreciation. Now, you don't have to give pianos. Again, it can just be a cup of coffee. It can just be offering to mow the neighbor's yard. So that's another one. If I'm mowing my front yard, I will then go and mow the neighbor's front yard. It doesn't take me much longer, but it's about the energy of being helpful and giving. And once you start doing it, you'll discover that there is something beautiful that happens, doesn't there, Christine? It just flows back to you in bucket loads. That's not why you do it. You do it because of that goosebump feeling you get when someone behind you realizes that you've quietly paid for their meal or paid for their coffee, and there's a joy that they get because you gave. And it's about their joy. It's about seeing their joy. It's a palpable feeling of their joy that someone just cared enough to just give you a cup of coffee. And it's as simple as it needs to be, isn't it, Christine?
Yeah, it takes the same amount of energy to be nasty as it does to be nice. So you might as well be nice because you get your rip for the awards. But I'm going to take that challenge up for next week.
Yes.
Like, I'm going to go out and
Yeah.
give to people, and I'm going to come back and let's talk about that next week.
Absolutely. Actually, that would be really good. I'd love to know from the listeners too if they've accepted our challenge of going out and helping or giving 5 times in the next week, because I'd really like to have a giving, helping ethos in 2021, because there's so many people hurting out there, and you don't know that person behind you in that coffee line. They might just have had the most crappy day, and they're just going in to get a drink to get them through the next. You don't know what people are bearing, you don't know what people are dealing with, and that one little act of kindness might be enough to give them renewed hope, renewed strength, and a renewed belief in humanity. And we all need to do that. After last year, it's one of the key things I want to take forward into 2021 is to keep giving and helping randomly. And whenever I think of it, I try and do something in that next little time frame because life's busy. We go and get on with our life and you'll forget about it. So just try and do it when it pops into your mind. The more often you do it, the more often it will pop into your mind. And it's fun to discover new ways to give to people in a way that empowers them. So again, I'd really be keen to hear the innovative ideas that come from the listeners next week. So we're actually just about out of time. So quickly, before we have to go, Christine, I want you to tell our listeners your email address, followed by your website, and when you hope that the program is going to go live.
So my email address is christine@christinestowe.com.au, and the website is christinestowe.com.au. And right after this call, I'm going to formulate a link where they can get the $7 special report and the masterclass tonight. So I'll get that over to you tonight because I'm going to make that link up. And after that, there'll be the link. I could probably also do the link for the $97. It's this close to being automated
Yes.
through ClickFunnels, but
Yes.
I'm going to put a
Yep.
link
Yep.
tonight so that your listeners can get that.
That's what I'm going to do for anyone who's listening today. That link will go up onto the radiotony.com website under co-hosts and look for Christine's information. And we'll put the link up there so that if you've missed this show or weren't quick enough to write it down, then we'll have the link there as well. Alternatively, just email christine@christinestowe.com.au. Christine, it's just an absolute delight to do a co-hosted show with you, an absolute pleasure to talk to you and share you with the Radio Tony listeners. We will be back next week with Christine, and just a reminder, we'll be checking your random acts of kindness and your gifts in the preceding week. So that's your challenge. Go out, give, help, and let us know what that means to you and what you've done. That's it for this week. Christine and I will be back next week. Thank you so much, Christine. Over to you, TJ, and bye for now, everyone.